Good morning. Thanks for having me here today. It's a really humbling opportunity to come in front of the congregation again. It's especially to speak about something that's on my heart and something that my small group has been discussing for the past few weeks. And it's 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we're going to focus on. And as Jen said, I've been struggling with this verse, and I've been wrestling with it, and I'm so blessed to have a group that supports me and is willing to take on challenging texts and to get out of comfort zones, because when you're in that comfort zone bubble, there's not really room to grow. So before we jump into scripture, will you say a prayer with me? Will you join me? Father God, this is your church. This is your pulpit. Allow me to honor you. Thank you for your love, the opportunity to worship you. You have called us to use all of our mind as an act of worship. God, help us to discern the difference between scripture that is eternal teaching and that is culturally packaged. Be with us in this church as we continue to explore your word. We ask for guidance from the Holy Spirit to do your work and just to be in this room. Help us to be Christ-centered and help us to walk and grow closer to Christ, and be with us as we do everything. In your son's name we pray. All right, so we are in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verses 8 through 15, so follow along. If you have your Bibles, bring it out. If you have the Bible app, use that. It's a great tool. In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way that they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothing. For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things that they do. Women should learn quietly and submissively. Do not let women teach men or have authority over them. Let them listen quietly. For God made Adam first, and afterward he made Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived, and sin was the result. But woman will be saved through childbearing, assuming they continue to live in faith, love, holiness, and modesty. Wow. I'll be honest with you, when I first read this, I was not inspired, I was not encouraged to lead in any capacity in my life or in this church, and I had to flip back a few chapters and find my power statements, find my verses that I was comfortable with. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all will be given to you also. Or Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. So this helped me, this motivated me and encouraged me to move past this verse and then to really find out what was going on in Ephesus, why this letter was written. And in 62 AD, Paul was released from prison in Rome. And he wrote to Timothy while he was ministering in Ephesus. Timothy was the understudy of Paul in his mission. So he knew his heart, and they loved each other in Christ. So Timothy was dealing with a huge problem. There was a temple under the authority in Ephesus that was under the control of promiscuous women. This temple was not just any temple. This was where people would travel thousands by the thousands to come to this beautiful temple, and these priestesses in the temple would sell themselves to make money. But Paul knew best. Paul understood that this was a threat to the growing Christian faith. This was a community that did not educate women. Women would be more inclined to give false teachings, and much like the priestesses in the temple. Ultimately, the church did not want to be associated whatsoever with this temple. I myself work with different cultures. I'm a nurse in substance abuse, and I work on changing fundamental problems in their lives. So I can change habits, I can change and correct false teaching in healthcare, but I will never be able to change who they are as a person or past mistakes they've made. Sometimes I wish I could change the friends that they've made, but I don't have control over that. So in order for me to establish rapport with my patients, I have to listen and not be judgmental, because if I do, they will reject everything that I have to say to them. So I kind of understand now why Paul and Timothy had to acquiesce to this culture in Ephesus. But I was still upset, and I was still hurt by some of these things. Did Paul really mean this? Did he really feel this way about women throughout the Bible, or was this just an anomaly? So I want to direct your attention now to Romans 16, chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church of Chinchir. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many and especially me. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me. I am thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Praise be to God. I was so happy when I heard this, but you know what? This isn't the only example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul allows women to prophesy in church. In Philippians 4, Paul talks about two women who contended at his side for the cause of the gospel. Across the spectrum in Christian practice today and in different denominations, there are examples that limit women's role in the church. And although these examples that I'm about to mention don't apply to ours, I still wanted to discuss them. Kate Wallace, who's an associate pastor, spoke on the widespread view of Christian practice, and she said this: "When I read the gospel, I can't help but notice a significant disconnect between the life of Jesus and this widespread church. Jesus told a woman to spread the good news of his resurrection, but we won't let a woman preach it from the pulpit. Jesus engaged in cross-gender discipleship, but we teach that this is somehow dangerous and overly tempting. Jesus depended on the financial provision of women for the welfare of the ministry, but we teach that men are to be the sole providers in Christian communities. Jesus used female examples in his teaching and spoke about women in his stories, but we teach that Christianity is supposed to have a masculine feel. Jesus carried the physical body and blood of Jesus, or woman carried the physical body and blood of Jesus within her for 9 months, but we won't let a woman serve communion. Jesus denied that there was hierarchy in his kingdom, but we teach that there is hierarchy between men and women. I know that Paul said a few things that have caused us to be overly concerned with a woman's place, but if we teach something that is inconsistent with Jesus' life, perhaps we've gotten it wrong. I mean, if Jesus asked a woman to preach the good news of his resurrection today, would we listen or would we condemn them both? When I look around at this church, I know that this church empowers women. I see it. I see it with Pastor Jen, who's pastor of worship, Pastor Anna, community life, Sophie, our music director, Barb Julian, minister of operations, she keeps us in check, Margaret Lang, minister of children and families, she does an awesome job with Walk to Bethlehem, and with Vacation Bible School, Jen Rao, minister of middle school youth, she was the first person to introduce me to what small groups are as my leader. Marty Winthrop, a minister in congregational care. I had the opportunity to work with her on a mission trip in West Virginia, and I still remember her devotion. It was amazing. Delaney Taka, she sings up here every single Sunday. And Lexi, too. She did an awesome job today. I can see the light of Christ in them when they get up here and they sing. Just amazing, amazing. And there's so much more in service and financial, and on the finance committee, in early child care. I saw Linda here today. Stephen ministers, mission trips, friends in faith. This church would not be the place it is without these women or the women who have gone before them. So friends, I simply ask that you encourage us in our faith, love us for our good deeds, support our vision to make this church a better place, and please pray for us because prayer works and God is listening. I wanted to leave you with one last power verse, and that's Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen?